Hey guys, welcome back to Take Town. I'm Aiden, and we're all really excited to get into an extra special episode today. And it's special for two really big reasons here. First, we're going to be diving into one of the quintessential debates in all of sports, LeBron versus MJ. Who's the GOAT? We'll be getting into that in a minute, but first, we have a big announcement. We have a new member of the Take Town crew, Alex Krakauer. Alex, why don't you tell the people a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Just to give a little bit about myself, I'm a freshman here at Tufts, and I grew up in Westchester, New York. I'm an avid sports fan, always have been, always will be. And, you know, I love to talk sports. So with that being said, so excited to get into the debate of all debates.
Alex, we're really super excited to have you on board on this podcast. Today, we're going to do something a little different than we have these past two episodes. We're going to be digging into the most recent story, something that's been debated across all sports platforms, social media, whatever you want to call it. And we're just going to debate today between LeBron James, who just won the fourth title of his NBA career, against Michael Jordan, who has been deemed the GOAT before, but now a lot of people are changing their minds. Is it Michael Jordan now still, or is it LeBron James? So with that being said, let's get right into it.
Yeah, so what we're going to do is we're going to divide this up into three sections. The first will be the raw stats. What are the quantifiable, undeniable arguments to be made from a number standpoint? The second will be the surroundings. Who did they play with? What franchises did they join? And who coached them? The third will be off-court legacy. Who are these guys, and what are their stories?
We have a lot to get into, but first, Matt, Alex, and I are going to give our personal quick takes on who we all think the greatest of all time is. And at the end of the episode, we're going to do it again. We're going to gauge if any of our takes have changed. So I'll start with my take. Me personally, I loved watching the Last Dance. I think Michael Jordan is the GOAT. I think it is undeniable. I'm also a bit of a Warriors fan, so I might be a tad biased against LeBron James. But the point stands, the man is 6-0 in the finals. He is an incredible competitor, one of the greatest athletes of all time. And he's just a larger-than-life figure. I just have endless respect, and I wish I could have been able to see him in his heyday. I wish I could have seen him play live. But alas, I stand by Michael Jordan as my GOAT take.
Aiden, I'm with you on that take. I am a huge Michael Jordan guy ever since I started getting into basketball. Like you said, he is 6-0 in the finals. His competitive attitude is well-known, especially in The Last Dance, which honestly was the highlight of my quarantine. Watching The Last Dance was amazing. I think that really cemented Jordan's legacy. I mean, if you just even watch a documentary, I just don't understand why you don't think Michael Jordan is the GOAT from that documentary. Obviously, we'll get into that during the show, but he's just a fierce competitor, an unbelievable basketball player, a great story, unbelievable teammate. I mean, he's done so many crazy things during his basketball career. So in my opinion, my short take, Michael Jordan is the GOAT of basketball.
Now, I hear what you're both saying. You know, I love MJ, and I thought The Last Dance was really, really good. But, you know, being a little bit younger, you know, I'm gonna take the LeBron side. A lot of people are starting to switch, and especially with this fourth title, you know, in a stacked Western Conference this year, and LeBron not getting, you know, any worse as he gets older. It's hard to see LeBron not overtaking MJ in some point in the near future. So, you know, doing a lot of the research, finding a lot of the stats, it was a lot closer than I actually thought. And, you know, I had gone into this being like, you know, I think MJ is really good, and he has that 6-0 record. He has the three-peat. He has, you know, all these scoring titles. But LeBron is really just undeniably a well-rounded player and continues to get better, even though he's 35, which is something amazing. And, you know, who knows how many titles he's going to have. And not to mention he has 10 appearances, which, you know, it's pretty crazy.
All right, well, it looks like we have a lot to get into, so let's just dive in, starting with stats.
Yeah, so stats don't lie, and that's exactly why this debate becomes so difficult. So if we start with Michael Jordan, he has this laundry list of achievements, and it's definitely one of the best all time. Jordan is a 6-time NBA champion, a 5-time MVP, 6-time Finals MVP, 14-time All-Star, 10-time scoring champ, 10-time first-team All-NBA player, 9-time first-team All-Defensive player, with a Defensive Player and Rookie of the Year award. That mouthful is just, it has everything that you could possibly have as an NBA player. I mean, you name it, Jordan's done it.
God, I agree with you here, Alex. I mean, every statistical box you look at in the NBA, Jordan has just checked it off. I mean, you look at his historic scoring and defensive capabilities, and you cannot say he's not the go-to basketball. I mean, they have been unmatched, unchallenged for years. His career average for points per game is at 30.2, which still ranks as the highest ever. On top of that, his 37.1 points per game average in 1986-1987 was the highest since Wilt Chamberlain in 1963, who never really passed the ball, and has not been top since. He would go on to average 30 more points per game 8 times in his career, while playing in 82 of a total 9 times. He was never hurt. He was an unbelievably healthy player. I mean, his ability to play consistently and at a remarkably high level really continues the case for Jordan to be the go-to basketball. I mean, just based on stats alone, his stats do not lie, like Alex said. I mean, they're just unbelievable. I mean, that's really one of the reasons why I think he's the go, just looking at his stats alone.
Yeah, and, you know, Michael's defensive capabilities also showed through his stats as he led the league in steals on 3 separate occasions, which helped him to lock down defensive All-NBA first-team honors 9 times. His regular season resume is the best of all time, and there's no doubt about it. His duality and consistency in the regular season is one that has 0 holes. As if this wasn't enough, Jordan holds many of the most amazing statistics in the playoffs. He holds a career record of 119-60 in the playoffs, while averaging 33.4 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, and 5.7 assists. Jordan also has the most career 30-point-plus, 40-point-plus, and 50-point-plus point playoff games, and is the only player to ever have back-to-back 50-point games in the playoffs. That's a lot of points. Lastly, MJ has won every finals that he has appeared in with a 6-0 all-time record, while going back-to-back-to-back in his famous three-peat from 91 to 93.
So, as Aiden said, it's impossible to look at these stats and, you know, think that anyone can challenge Jordan. But lo and behold, after LeBron's 4th NBA title, he's found his way into the conversation in a more serious way than ever before. His 4 finals MVPs, in these 4 finals victories, with 4 regular season MVPs, 16 All-Star nods, 13 first-team All-NBA, and 5 defensive first-team All-NBA selections, a scoring title, and a Rookie of the Year award, make LeBron extremely close to Michael Jordan. And, you know, while James doesn't have the same scoring title averages that MJ had, he is significantly ahead in the assist totals, and some of the playoff numbers are pretty crazy, too.
It really does pain me to say this, but there is a case for LeBron James to knock off Michael Jordan as the GOAT of the NBA. I mean, he is 35 years old and still achieving at an extremely high level in the NBA. He does have more All-Star selections than Jordan, and he holds the most All-NBA selections ever. Now you can make an argument that LeBron's going to play more than Jordan, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, he doesn't seem to age, right? Another area where you can really look to support James's case in this is just how he has developed. I mean, he is an athletic freak if you've seen all his workout videos on Instagram and just how ripped he is as a human being. He has turned from this, you know, athletic freak. He has become this playmaker. And he's putting up respectable numbers on the glass and on defense as well. Personally, I think LeBron is a mediocre defensive player all around. I don't think he always goes 100% on defense, but he does have those spurts of defensive greatness. His regular season career averages are 27.1 points per game, 7.4 rebounds, 7.4 assists, and 1.6 steals, which are amazing numbers. I mean, look, I like LeBron. I love him as a player. I think he really does make a case, though, to knock off Michael Jordan, even with his stats alone. He does have great stats, I will not lie. Yeah, he does have a well-rounded resume, I will say.
Yeah, and I really like a well-rounded player. I'm just going to say, I mean, versatility, like triple-doubles, that is huge, you know? You got to make an impact on every part of the floor, and I really respect LeBron James for maybe edging out Michael Jordan a little bit on that front, you know, higher assist numbers, higher rebound numbers. I have a lot of respect for that. Furthermore, James has averaged 8 assists per game or more in the past 4 seasons, with 10 assists per game in the 2020's COVID-shortened season. With all of that, James has still managed to become the NBA's third all-time total point scorer, 2 slots ahead of Jordan. Generally, Jordan will also be placed ahead of LeBron because of success and scoring in the playoffs. The 6-0 is really hard to deny, but James does have some of the most mind-blowing playoff stats in NBA history. He has a career record of 172-88 with 128 double-doubles, that's fourth all-time by the way, and 28 triple-doubles, second all-time, in those 260 games that he has played, also the most of all time. Not to mention that in those record 260 games, James has appeared in every single one. Man is also available 24/7, just like MJ.
Yeah, and to have that longevity is really the case for LeBron's argument. He's played in so many seasons. And I mean, we think about MJ retired three times. He had those two breaks and he didn't have to play in these 260 playoff games and all these extra regular seasons that LeBron's playing in. He's still playing at this incredibly high level. So, I mean, going back to these playoff stats, James is also the leader in playoff points, minutes, and steals, while he's second in assists and sixth in rebounds. And he's basically cemented himself as this playoff legend, comparably to Jordan. And his 10 finals appearances also ranks as the third most all-time. Finally, James holds career playoff averages of 28.8 points per game, 9 rebounds, and 7.2 assists. When the lights are brightest, LeBron knows it, and his ability to average such high numbers all around the board is a testament to the type of player he has become.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to argue against how clutch LeBron is in the playoffs. I mean, I don't want to, as a Celtics fan, I hate playing LeBron because I know that in Game 7, he's just going to take over. I mean, he is an unbelievable player, and he can take over games in the playoffs especially. But now we're going to switch gears up a little bit and just look at the broader teams that these guys play with. So, I mean, if you look at LeBron, he did win this fourth title. His first with the Lakers since signing about, 2 years ago now. He is clearly the leader of that team. I mean, there's no argument there. He's a franchise cornerstone piece forever. How long he stays in L.A., make it 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, whatever. And yes, Anthony Davis, unbelievable player. But in this bubble or even across the NBA's 2019-2020 season, it seemed like LeBron was the clear-cut number one in the Lakers. And Davis and LeBron did work well together. I thought Davis was a great player. They did gel together as a team. But LeBron had to deal with Danny Green missing wide-open shots. I mean, the guy got death threats for it. And I mean, and I look at this NBA championship as LeBron's best achievement in his NBA career. I know that's a very hot take to say, but he was in a bubble with no fans, and LeBron thrives off that playoff environment. And people are going to argue that there might be an asterisk against to this NBA championship this season, but I argue that there's not going to be one. It's one of LeBron's best achievements. I mean, he came in after a, 4-month layoff or so and plays in July. Mm-hmm. I mean, just goes off in the bubble and just leads the Lakers to an easy title win over the Miami Heat.
All right, so for the next section of this debate, we're going to be talking a little bit more about these players' surroundings. Who were their teammates? Who were their coaches? What franchises did they play for? That's coming up next. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to say to your point, I think there is no asterisk that should be on this bubble win here. If anything, there should be an exclamation point because it was that much harder. These players needed to be in the bubble for 3 months. Same routine, same surroundings, same people. No friends, no family, no loved ones, at least until the playoffs when they could have very small amounts of guests. And, you know, I think it's just such a massive achievement. And I think everybody, and rightfully so in a lot of cases, is calling for LeBron to become the greatest of all time of the NBA, to usurp Jordan for this. Out of the four titles that he's won, LeBron was paired with a superstar or even multiple superstars. Talking to, just player surroundings as a whole. When he was on the Heat, he had this big three of Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, as well as sharpshooter Ray Allen, who hit that massive three-pointer against the Spurs. When they won against the Warriors, people forget that it was Kyrie Irving who hit the dagger, not LeBron. Yeah, he had an amazing block down the stretch, but he was not alone in that title victory.
Yeah, but, you know, we got to talk about who Mike had playing with Scottie Pippen and Dennis Rodman, and they aren't the same as Dwayne Wade or Chris Bosh. And Michael Jordan basically built Chicago from the ground up. LeBron was always going from city to city. He went to Miami, now he's in LA, and he went back to Cleveland. And, you know, personally, I do think that Jordan, you know, he had that season without Pippen, and without Pippen where he wasn't able to win the title, but, you know, still, that they're not exactly the caliber of Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, who are pretty much all-time greats for that team. They were in their primes at that point. And LeBron, you know, returned to that Cleveland franchise and almost lost to a Celtics team without Kyrie, and that, you know, was led by Jason Tatum and was just crushed by the Warriors in the finals. And, I mean, that was a tough team to beat, but if we put MJ in that situation, it seems like he might have gotten the win.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned this already earlier in the podcast, but Jordan was 6-0 in finals appearances. 6-0, 100%. I mean, LeBron has been to more finals, but we really shouldn't forget Michael Jordan left basketball in his prime to go play minor league baseball. He didn't even make the major leagues. He just went to go play minor league baseball. I mean, he did this on a spur-of-the-moment idea just to go play baseball, to leave basketball, the sport that he was the GOAT by already in the middle of his career, plays minor league baseball. Unbelievable. He literally walked away from the game to pursue another sport. Then comes back, and he still put up solid numbers with the Wizards, and he was away from the game for a little bit. I mean, you could argue LeBron might be able to do the same thing, but MJ still wasn't, like, a great player after being on that little hiatus in basketball. And, yeah, I mean, LeBron has definitely made a case to rival Jordan, but in my opinion, he really can't do anything else to dethrone Jordan on this front. I mean, Jordan did create the Chicago Bulls dynasty, both from the ground up, like Alex said. And LeBron did join the Miami Heat. I mean, listen, love the Heat when they were playing. I love Eric Spoelstra. I love what he does down there in Miami. But, I mean, you can't really blame for that. But, and it was the opportunity of a lifetime. But Jordan really did build the Bulls from the ground up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a point in his favor, just knowing that he stuck with the Bulls. He had a much more lackluster supporting cast. They had great teams, definitely, but Jordan was just the unquestioned center of those teams. But I do have to say, LeBron also has the ability to take over games just like Jordan did. You could argue all day about Jordan being a bad teammate and LeBron being this amazing emotional leader. But at the end of the day, LeBron had his fair share of superstars for a chunk of his career. He had the Dwayne Wades, Chris Bosches, and Ray Allens of the basketball world. He had the Kyries and the Kevin Loves and the ADs. These are amazing players. These are the who's who of the NBA in the 2010s. And obviously, you can argue that the competition in the 90s wasn't as good as today's NBA, but Jordan won 6 finals in 6 appearances. We keep coming back to this. In this debate, it's simple. Jordan is the GOAT because he went 6-0 in finals appearances. That a team that was far less talented than this Miami Heat dynasty or the 2016 Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right, and a lot of those teams that he beat were still not to be scoffed at. They were players. They had Hall of Famers all across the board. And just because, you know, we're saying LeBron had to face the Warriors a couple times, those teams that the Bulls played were pretty amazing as well. So with all that being said, you know, we're talking about the legacies that they had. We're going to continue that to go more of in a direction of what they leave behind and who they've become as these myths of basketball. You know, the MJ and LeBron, those are just the names that you think of when you think of the NBA. So for the sake of this debate, let's focus on a few of these broader points about what they've left behind.
So first, we're going to talk about LeBron and how he was this high school prodigy coming out of Akron, Ohio. He was touted as a future NBA star ever since he was in middle school. I mean, he was a man. I mean, he was an athletic freak in high school. If you ever get a chance to watch his highlight tapes in high school, he was unbelievable, took over games like that. Kind of, it was very similar to what Zion did in high school. Not saying the same player, but definitely similar high school careers. And then he went straight to the NBA from high school to become a first overall pick by Cleveland, which is an unbelievable feat to do. We'll give the man credit. And he had this image of this homegrown hometown boy destined to bring Cleveland a title. Obviously, first time around, he didn't do it. But then coming back, he eventually did, coming back 3-1 against the Warriors.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I mean, MJ went a more traditional route. He played college ball in North Carolina with the Tar Heels. And while LeBron was the NBA's future from day one, MJ was less of a sure thing at pick number three. I mean, these drafts are never a sure thing. Just look at how many, like, number one picks have just, like, busted in the 2010s. And personally, the superstar stories that impress me the most are the ones that come from more of an unlikely place. It isn't like a pre-mandate or anything like that. The late round draft picks, and now MJ, not a late round draft pick, but again, not the number one, not what everyone thought was the sure thing. And the walk-on stories and all these other unlikely stories, they're always my favorite. But, you know, I'm trying to play both sides here. I'm trying to understand kind of both players' images. And there has to be something to be said for coming in with such high expectations like LeBron did, placed upon him in high school, no less, and somehow still surpassing them. I mean, I couldn't even handle, like, expectations at, like, 1% as much as what LeBron did in high school. You know, I think it's just crazy, like, the amount of pressure that was put on him, and he was thrown onto these Cleveland teams and just had to perform from day one. So, and he surpassed them all. He surpassed all these expectations. So there has to be something said there as well.
Yeah, and I love that point, talking about how LeBron was followed from start to finish, because he had that spotlight on him his entire career. And, you know, just being in high school out of Akron and immediately signing a huge shoe deal, he was on magazines and in commercials from the moment that he was playing basketball competitively. So, you know, we have to think about how LeBron has never really had any dirt on him. There's nothing bad that he's done. And now the closest thing that we have is on his teenage son, which still is pretty much nothing. He's this golden boy, and there's never been any controversy about him. And, you know, he has this family image that everyone can relate to, and he's just a wholesome guy, and he's led activism and, you know, all these great things. So it's hard to say anything bad about him in general.
Yeah, and, like, as a Celtics player playing LeBron for so many years, I've always wanted to hate him as a person, but you really can't. Like, just like you said, Alex, he's an incredibly likable person. He has the I Promise You they create in Akron, Ohio. I mean, he does so many charitable work. He has great charisma, he's a great image for the NBA. But there is one point where people, especially me, like to poke holes in LeBron's off-court legacy. I mean, he has been jumping team to team via free agency. I mean, nothing crazy like other people do in the NBA, but he did leave Cleveland behind when he couldn't get them a title. And that really kind of punctured and killed that homegrown boy from Cleveland person vibe in the process. And a lot of Cleveland fans just hated LeBron for years. I mean, they're burning his jerseys. I mean, just swearing him off. And it does come off as selfish and businesslike to some people, but I didn't hate the move. I mean, it's always good to see player mobility in the NBA, especially in the 2010s. I mean, super teams are kind of common in the NBA now, and you really want to stray away from that if you're the NBA, because you want a bigger market, you want more TV deals, et cetera, et cetera. And I really love this player mobility that LeBron has been doing ever since he left Cleveland for Miami. It makes the league it makes the NBA a better league, in my opinion. And the exec already makes so much money. Let the players drive the shape of the league.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you could go back and forth all day about free agency and everything, but LeBron had an impact there, like, whether you like it or not, and you could say whether it's a good impact or a bad impact, but he's the reason players can sign these massive deals and have so much leverage in free agency. So I do have to give a point to him on that front. On the MJ side, in terms of maybe poking holes in his off-court legacy a little bit, this is the time to do it. You know, The Last Dance was just released, and every basketball fan ate that up immediately. I mean, he came off as such a fiery competitor, and winning was quite literally everything to him at times. It made him come off as a bit of an intense teammate, but I have trouble kind of like scrutinizing him for that just because the results speak for themselves there. There was this one controversy about his gambling that kind of stuck out over the course of his career, but it never really escalated to something that was really damaging. beyond just some media scrutiny. And the media is just going to put everything to a magnifying glass when you're as big as MJ. And I think his popularity, that's the thing that really sticks with me the most in terms of these like intangibles. Like, it was so well documented in The Last Dance, just the insane swaths of fans and sheer obsession that characterized his whereabouts in the 90s. It's unlike anything a celebrity seems to be able to muster these days. I mean, MJ became something of an icon, sort of a deity in his own right, in this intangible way that LeBron didn't really quite achieve. You know, he was sharing the spotlight a lot of the time. You had Steph Curry and Dwayne Wade kind of like taking some of that media obsession away from him. So I do think MJ kind of like holds the edge on that front.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think MJ had this, he was the NBA. He made the Bulls and he made the NBA. He brought it to this place where it had never been in the world, in this global stage where, you know, we were seeing events in like Asia and Europe, which had never been happening before prior to the 90s. And, you know, we can say that maybe LeBron might have done this, but we're never going to know. So we have this image of MJ being a hero for the Bulls and the NBA and becoming the face of the NBA, regardless of whether other people might have done it or not. But just his ability to do that has made him a living legend in the NBA.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up MJ's influence, Alex, because I think another big point in MJ's favor for this GOAT debate is the contributions he had to Nike brand, one of the biggest shoe companies and clothing and apparel companies in the country. Everyone loves Nike. And his line of Jordan shoes is legendary. And it's really a point in his favor that you really can't ignore, because this league is a sneaker-centric league, right? I mean, a lot of players have to post their kicks before each game. There's a lot of trends on Bleacher Report and ESPN showing best kicks of the week. And I think he really kickstarted that, sneaker-centric branding that the NBA has. And, I mean, he just really just launched the Jordan brand, and it's done many unparalleled things for the sneaker world. And they're still extremely popular today. I mean, just because he just made a line of shoes, I mean, MJ really has this unbelievable influence on even not even basketball, just shoes and business and all that. I mean, he has a major influence even outside of basketball.
Definitely with you there. And, you know, I'm just going to say before we wrap up this section, I want to do this episode again when LeBron's version of Space Jam comes out, and we can make this GOAT debate based entirely on the quality of those two movies. Because, I mean, Space Jam is a classic. Say what you will about it. I love that movie, and I think it's a point in MJ's favor. It's one of the reasons I like him so much as a player, just watching that when I was younger. It got me into basketball, honestly, no matter how silly of a movie that is. Well, that does it for our big three sections. It's clear that both of these players have insane resumes on all fronts. That's why we had to break it up into so many different kind of lenses and ways to look at them. And they just have their own respective places in history that are never going to go away. And it's great that we have a really even GOAT debate between them. You know, LeBron's still doing it now, and who knows, maybe he could win another two titles and really even up that sort of like six rings type of debate and everything. But regardless, I think it's time for us to give our updated takes here. I would be happy to start. And, you know, I was looking at the stats. I was just thinking about LeBron's longevity and just the incredible sort of image that he has and the amount of good he has done for his communities and for social justice and activism, and just watching him in the bubble going through that immensely like emotional and challenging time, the gravity he has as this force in free agency, being able to attract new free agents and stars and reshape teams and kind of change the fortunes of a franchise like he did with Los Angeles, which was stuck in the mud before he came over. I love MJ, but I have to say, I think LeBron is my pick for the GOAT now, especially if he can keep playing at this level for the next couple of years. I think it's going to be a no-doubter in 2 or 3 years when he finally hangs it up.
Yeah, I mean, I was with LeBron before, and I think some of the things that he's done are amazing, and he's going to have this amazing career. And we'll see what legacy he leaves behind, which is ultimately, I think, what's going to be the deal breaker for me, because their stats are so similar and they've accomplished so much. You know, we talked about Jordan as being the face of the NBA and making it so big and having this face as the Jordan brand. And I really like that point to say just how important Jordan was in the scope of things all throughout the world and making basketball such a global game, you know, going and participating in these like global tournaments in the Olympics and with the Dream Team, bringing it all over the world is something that LeBron hasn't exactly done. And LeBron has become this huge face of the NBA, but Jordan is just another scale. He's almost a god. And the fact that a person can do that, to me, is what puts Jordan, you know, maybe a little bit over LeBron for now. So I think for now it's Jordan, but it's going to take a few more years to see if LeBron can leave that sort of impact as well.
So I'm going to be the stubborn one here, and I'm still going to say that MJ is the GOAT of the NBA. I mean, I said it earlier in the podcast. I really think there's nothing that LeBron James can do to pass MJ on this podium. I mean, LeBron is a great guy, great leadership, awesome charisma, great guy outside of basketball. Even in basketball, he's a great player. I mean, I would still argue number one player in the NBA, always in the MVP race every single year. But I mean, I'm just going to keep going back to this point, and I sound like a broken record, but Michael Jordan was 6-0 in finals. I mean, he's hit some incredible clutch postseason shots. I mean, LeBron has his clutch moments in the NBA, but has he had a buzzer beater in Game 6 of the finals? I mean, he had that block against Iguodala. I'll give him that. But I just think MJ is a lot is very clutch in the finals. LeBron is clutch in playoffs, don't get me wrong, but MJ has been so clutch even through his short career in the NBA. He had this amazing influence on basketball, on business, on Nike. And I still think he is the GOAT of the NBA. Just simply based on 6-0 in the finals and just his influence in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a testament to both these players that we could just debate for hours and hours. There's so much we didn't cover, like LeBron's interactions with coaches and just all these other elements of MJ's legacy and what he's done after basketball too. We could go for hours, honestly, but we're out of time for today, and that'll do it. Thank you guys all for listening, and we'll be back at you with another episode soon. Until then, take care and keep having these debates.